Again, did you get there to Hebrews 4, 14? Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. The NIV says, let us hold firmly to the faith we possess. Barclay, we must never lose our grip of faith we have publicly professed. In the Amplified, let us hold fast our confession of faith in him. And the Hebrews version of the Bible, it says, let us hold tightly to our confession. So when you see something that says hold fast, it's almost like saying hold firmly. So there's emphasis there, wouldn't you say? There's emphasis, hold fast, get a grip, get a good grip on what? Your profession of faith in him. So obviously, by the Holy Ghost, there's a reason why it's expressed that way. And we can see in other scriptures that our enemy, our adversary, is going to work at us with pressure and other external forces that are going to try to get us to change or loosen or let go of our profession of faith. A little bit of pressure, and we see what happens. And so that's why it says the way it does, that we're to hold firmly. And that particular word, as we had expressed before, homologia, it means to make a profession or say the same thing as another, to agree with. So we're to do what? Declare, to openly declare the same thing. What is that? The same thing that is in his word, that God says. Well, when you think about it, isn't that what Jesus did? When he was pressured by the devil or tempted by the devil, what did he do? He professed what he said my Father said. So he would say what the Word said. He didn't give in to the pressure. So since he's our prototype, he's our example, then that's what we're to do. We're to hold fast. It also says to stay fully committed to what? Our confession or profession. Now, that word profession, let's look at Romans 10 and verses 8, 9, and 10. What we just read is your profession of faith, not your confession of sin. So he said to hold fast to that profession of faith in Jesus, not hold fast your confession of sin, which is what a lot of people do. They get it reversed. They hold fast to, I don't feel saved, I don't feel forgiven, Lord, forgive me. We hear this all the time. I don't feel saved. I don't feel forgiven. I don't feel healed. Lord, heal me. Lord, forgive me. The confession of sin is to be done once. So it says here, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, what? The Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we're to hold fast our profession of faith in the Lord Jesus. So we are to constantly profess what? I'm a Christian. That Jesus is my Lord. He's my healer. He's my provider. That's what we're to hold fast to. And who I am in Christ. So as we were sharing, I'm just going back through some points that we had touched on, that profession simply means your lifestyle. So you are known by your lifestyle, your profession. What does that mean? You are a Christian. So you are known by your profession. I'm a Christian. That ought to convey your lifestyle. You are known by your lifestyle. And we were using the example of someone who was a professional. They are known by their profession. And their profession really is what they do. It's their lifestyle. You hear people say, I'm a carpenter. I do air conditioning. I do this, whatever it is. They're known by that profession. Well, you're known by your profession of faith. And you're not, as we said, you're a professional. And it's also not a private thing. People who are in a profession don't go around privately and tell people. They promote it. They talk about it. I'm a professional so-and-so. So they publicly profess it. And we ought to too. If you are known by him, then you publicly profess that. And you know, I was thinking about this today. In James 4:7, it says, submit therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he shall flee from thee, or flee from you. And I thought about that a little bit, and I said, you know, if we're too often we say, well, I resist the devil when there's some pressure that comes. You know, we're quick to do that. But how many are quick when it says submit therefore to God and it says resist the devil? How many are quick to resist worry? How many are quick to resist gossip? How many are quick to resist some other kind of ilk that the devil brings and submit to the word? How many are quick to resist thoughts that come, that we entertain? You know, a lot of times we look at things and we compartmentalize things that the devil brings. But then there's these subtle things that he'll bring and we don't resist, right? But I dare say if you said, no, Jesus is Lord over this. He lives in me. He's Lord over my thoughts. He's Lord over this situation. No. I resist you. But a lot of times what happens? We pamper it. We entertain things. And we're not quick to resist. So our profession of faith needs to be held tightly. And I know, you know, we all miss it in areas, but we ought to be quick to recognize, wait a minute. You know, I had, I shared this a few times, that working in the ministry sometimes can you put a lot of energy and effort in. And there were seasons here that I would work 7 days a week, week after week, after week, after week, after week. And sometimes I'd say, boy, I'd just love to have a Saturday off. And then another fellowship group would want to do something, and there goes my Saturday. And so week after week, and I'd look up sometimes in 6 months, and I may not have had there may have been a day here or there, but just, I enjoyed doing it, but after year, it began to wear on me a little bit. And I'm easy, but it wore on me. And then some thoughts started coming, and I wasn't quick to put them down. These thoughts started coming. Boy, you're that age, you don't have this. What are you doing with your life? What are you doing here? And I started feeling sorry, not sorry, that's not the right word, because I was tired physically. I wasn't quick to say, oh, no, I know why I'm doing what I'm doing. God called me, and I know exactly why I'm doing what I'm doing. But I entertained a few thoughts. Then I started to meditate on them. And I got so far down the depression, I've never gotten depressed, ever. I don't get depressed. And it got, because I entertained the thoughts, it became like a vice. It gripped, and I couldn't get rid of it. And so I remember one day I was at a point where I didn't care. I'd come in, but I just said, I don't really care. And so I remember one day Pastor Clinton picked up the phone. He called my office, says, hey, what's going on? And he said, how's everything? I said, it's all right. And he began to see some things and know some things that needed some correction. And he said, I need you here. We need you. So he just talked for a few minutes, and it went, and I saw, you fool, you entertained some devilish thought. I mean, I saw it. And so what can happen sometimes, and it doesn't have to be that, it could be in a marriage. You know, I'm talking about a work relationship. We've talked with people that you can have a husband and wife where love one another, respect one another, happily married, and one can feel like they've missed everything in life, you know, and just entertain thoughts and wreck a marriage. So we need to be quick to resist casting down vain imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. If you know that you're called to be doing whatever that is, if that's God's call on your life, and he's not told you to do anything different, then you dig your heels in and say, you get your hips out of here. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You command him to leave. Because it's really, and especially if you're bearing fruit. Because that's the key. God wants us to bear fruit. I remember after I'd been here in the ministry 20 years, I remember Pastor Clinton and Sarah called me in, and they were just sharing some things, and they both said, you have made our life easy here to do the things that we've done. But that was a sacrifice. It was a big sacrifice for me, and I certainly don't ask anyone to do that. That was something that was in my heart to do. Now, I'm not sure I would do it now. I don't know. You have to take every day at a time. Do things from your heart. Not do it just because. You see. So a lot of times we're put in positions to make choices. And so you have to make some choices from your heart. So why am I saying all of that? You need to submit yourself to God and do what? Resist the devil when he comes, when those thoughts come. And they're real. They're tangible. Man, I mean, you could taste them. You're tired. You're frustrated. Things don't look like they're changing. And thoughts come. And it's real. But you better go back to what God told you to do. And if he told you, I remember one time, we were doing all-night prayers here. Brother Hagin was coming. I don't remember how many times he had been to the church up to that point. He'd been a number of times. But he was coming, and Pastor Sarah and Clinton were impressed to have some once a month leading up an all-night prayer. Just we pray in the Spirit and pray and worship God. So I had gotten to the place where in that season, you know, working my regular job here and then working and playing music all night long for another 12 hours was a stretch for me physically. And you know, I just trusted God for the strength and the wherewithal. And I remember one night I just said, I want to pray. So I just said, well, forget it. I'm not spinning music. I'm just going to put a CD on, hit play, and I'm going to pray. If it plays, it plays. If it don't, they'll deal with it. That was my attitude. Now, maybe it was stinky, but it was that's just the way it was. I wanted to pray. I felt like praying, and I wanted to pray. So I remember, you know, kind of being, you know, just being ornery, I guess, best way to put it, because I wanted to pray. And there was nobody there to help at that time. So I just put that thing on play and started walking around. And somebody walked by me. Somebody was praying in the Spirit and put something in my hand, and I kept walking. And I'm praying. I said, I'm not going to be bothered. I want to pray. So when I got back, they had this little note written. I keep it because it said, God, you know how God will read your mail. He'll read your heart. And this person wrote in there, I'm just a messenger. God said, great is your faithfulness to me and to this ministry and to these pastors and deacons and people. And he said, if you will stay faithful to me, I will stay faithful to you. Well, I did this. Okay. I pulled up my pants and said, get back to your seat and shut up. You know what I mean? Just be quiet. Stop whining. God knows right where you are. He knows that it's a stretch, and he's saying, you're faithful. And that's what I'm looking for. He said, great is your faithfulness. So I thought, well, thank you, Lord, for the commendation. But we always haven't been. And sometimes we think just because, you know, we've gotten a little out of sorts with something, that God's moved by that. He's not moved by that. What he's moved by is if you show up all the time, you do what you're going to say, you're faithful to do what you say you're going to do. In the good times and the bad times and the things that are a stretch. And payday is coming where God's concerned. You be faithful. Hold fast, not only to your profession, but hold fast to what you committed to. Don't give up. Don't get weary. Because we can get weary. It looks like things ain't changing. Looks like our prayers aren't working. Oh, yeah, they are. The devil wants to make you think that they're not working. But hold fast. He's the one that's defeated. He's the one that's trying to make you think it's not working. Huh. Ha ha on him. So just a few things that I read Sunday. Let's read 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Hallelujah. So we're going to fight the worthwhile, this is what the J.B. Phillips, fight the worthwhile battle of faith. Glory to God. Now I'm going to read this tonight. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5, you know this scripture in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, sometimes I think we read that so much where almost sometimes I don't want to say blind to it, but it almost becomes rote to us. Yeah, I'm a new creature in Christ, blah, blah, blah. Do you really know who you are in Christ? Let me read some other translations. Maybe it'll register on your spirit. The Living Bible. When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. You're a new person inside, and the devil knows it. And we're to hold fast. We have the very life and nature of Christ in us. Listen to this translation. It's called the Laubach translation. If a man is in Christ, he is created new. The man he was has passed away. And behold, a new man has been created. Here's a translation called the Dean translation. And the true Christian is not merely a man altered, but a man remade. See, I'm not altered. I've been remade. What does that mean? I'm not the one that's living inside anymore. It's Christ that lives in me. Hallelujah. I'm born again, what? Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I've been what? Translated out of darkness, or I've been delivered out of darkness, and delivered not only just out of darkness, but from the power of darkness. I like this, the Barclay, it says, it was he who rescued us from the grip of the power of darkness. The grip. See, we're to take a grip on the profession of faith. He had a grip. Not anymore. It's been broken. That grip from his kingdom has been broken. The power of darkness has been broken. And we've been transferred unto the kingdom of his dear Son. Glory to God. So, because of who I've become in Christ, my words have significance. Now, you are a spirit. And you have a soul and you live in a body, but one scripture that is important for me anyways is Proverbs 4:23. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And if you look that word issues up, it just means boundaries. So you set the boundaries in your life by the words that you speak, that come out of your heart. And so often, you know, you'd hear others, you know, other men and women of God share the same thing. Speak what it is that you desire. Guard your heart, this is God's word. Guard your heart more than anything else, because the source of life flows from it. What does that mean? Words come out of your heart. And so, the complete Jewish Bible, it says, above everything else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences. So a lot of times the world's thinking, or people are thinking, well, it's the government. It's my wife. It's my husband. It's my J-O-B. That's the problem. Well, that could be part of a problem, but that's not the problem. The problem is what the word says. What's coming out of our heart creates the consequences. And it says here in the Good News translation, be careful how you think. This is Proverbs 4:23. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. So what does that mean? If he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, then why am I saying I can't? Then I'm creating an I can't path for my life. And you may not see the results of that. It may take years of you saying I can't. I remember after Michael Jackson passed away. stories came out afterwards. And I remember they interviewed Priscilla Presley. And she said, during their marriage, she said that he very seriously looked across the table and said, I'm not going to live past 40. 50. I'm sorry, 50. And he had confessed that, he had said that to other people. And so, we hear a lot of these other things, but his confession propelled him down a path in life that caused him to make life choices to shorten his life, which could have been a variety of things. You know, I mean, they said he was, the reports that he took some, drugs and different things to assist him in life and different things. But it caused a problem. What was the problem? It was what you said. And so it's the same thing in our life. Knowing what we know, words shape our life. And so no matter what things look impossible in your life, if you desire, if you're a young person, and you begin to say as a young person, find out what God wants for your life, number one, you're his workmanship created in Christ. Find out what he wants, but begin to profess the desires of your heart. And over time, those things will unfold to you supernaturally and easily. Things that are impossible for other people will be possible for you. They will just happen. Circumstances. I'm thinking about, I remember when Darius Sweet was here working with me. He went to MIT. He was a very bright person, very bright, intelligent. He was a member here for many years, worked with me in the sound area. And he began to walk up the management level almost supernaturally, and got to the place where he worked directly when he was working for Hess, and he was working directly for Mr. Hess. And he said to me one time, he said, now he was a graduate from MIT, so he was very bright, but he said, there are a lot of people brighter than me that really are more qualified to do this. But God was blessing him and honoring him. So people might have better credentials than you, but I work for Jesus. And he'll open doors that no man can open. And he'll bless me in ways that it's impossible for others. But if I will just stick and hold fast the profession of my faith in Christ, that he is my source, he's my provider, I don't look to the government for my provision. They're not my source. Now, things and blessings may come from that source, but if it dries up, if it all goes away, they're not my source. My source is him. And so if I keep focused on the Word and I keep meditating in the Word and decreeing the Word, he said, I watch over my Word to do what? Perform it. And as the rain cometh down and the snow, and he said, and watereth the earth, and he said, and bringeth forth. So it will come to pass if we speak it. Let's not get lazy in that area. You know, we can wane, you know what I mean? We get off, we're not as diligent as we used to be. So Romans 12:2. be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I like the Phillips. It says, let God remold your minds from within. That's how the Phillips translation says it. So the boundaries in life didn't come from the outside. The boundaries came in life from the inside. So boundaries that we run into didn't come from the outside. You know, so often we hear, well, you know, I grew up in this environment and I grew up in this environment and so forth and so on. And all of that, nobody's taking that away, that there are some natural boundaries that could exist for individuals that grew up in a certain setting. Nobody's denying that. But that's not your restriction. That's not your boundary. That's not your boundary. You can exceed that boundary. You can go outside that boundary with your words, with your attitude, with your heart. Look to Jesus. Look to Him. Hallelujah. Just some thoughts. You're saved by words. You're delivered by words. This is what John 6:63, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So we're saved by words. We're delivered by words. We're nourished by words. We're healed by words. We are prospered by words. My words are spirit and life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Your confession is made up of words. Your words or confession convey a picture or story. Your words or confession releases your faith. Our words or confession will put us over or defeat us. And every one of us will live through this. Words convey our thoughts and meditations. Words invite and invoke deeds and actions. Words can be of tremendous value if filled with the right kind of material. Words expose our thoughts and desires. Use your words carefully. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things, what is he doing? Upholding all things by the word of his power. And I like the God's Word translation. It says, his Son is the reflection of God's glory and the exact likeness of God's being. This is what I like right here. He holds everything together through his powerful words. He holds everything together through his powerful words. So let me ask this question. In your life, can you hold things together through your powerful words? Yes, you can. You can hold things together. It's no longer you that live, but it's Christ who lives in you. And the things that are in your life, you can hold your family together with prayer and the right words. You can hold things together in a job, in a setting, in a region, in an area by words that are released. So we can have an impact in an area. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's turn over for a moment to Hebrews 11. And let's look at verse 1 for a moment. I'm sorry, Mark 11, 22 and 23. I remember so many stories. When I first got saved, I started going to a lot of the Kenneth Copeland meetings and Brother Hagin's meetings. I purpose to go. I take all my vacations and go and sit in the and listen to the word. And I remember hearing Charles Capps at so many conventions talk about his confession of faith. Some of them were funny, but they were strong, and funny stories. But he would tell his stories about fishing, and he'd go out and fish, and he'd be in a boat with a bunch of guys fishing, and he'd say, "I command all the fish to come to my side of the boat." And he's catching all the fish, and they're catching nothing. And they said, "Man, the fish are on your side of the boat." He said, "Okay, come over on this side." So they'd switch side, and he'd command a fish to come to his side. And they're catching all the fish where they just came. But his point was, he said, "I got to the place where I used my words." He talked about how he liked to hunt, and he would go into the woods and hunt, and he'd always end up, he said he was always allergic to poison ivy. So he'd get to the place where he'd just be loaded with poison ivy, rash, and so forth. But he'd say he didn't start out with the result. You understand what I'm talking about? He'd say, "I'd load up, I'd put some calamine lotion on and so forth and try to deal with it that way, but I'd start speaking to my body that the life of Christ, I'm healed, I'm redeemed from this, the life of Christ is coursing through my body, and it's healing this poison ivy." And he would say that and say that and say that, and he said it got to the place over a period of time. This didn't happen overnight. But he said, "I could go into the woods and grab some poison ivy and strip it right down off the tree, and it wouldn't bother me. No rash, no nothing." So he got to the place where his confession and the life of God ruled and reigned in his body. But it didn't happen overnight. So it got to the place where he exercised his confession daily concerning this. So things that are seemingly a problem in our life, I was listening to something and it just kind of brought back to memory some things about Smith Wigglesworth, somebody that was on this earth in the early 1900s, late 1800s, early 1900s. I think he passed away around 1950s. And he said, "I don't ask Smith Wigglesworth how he feels. I tell Smith Wigglesworth how he feels. I don't ask him how he feels." And Lester Summerall, he had been here a few times at this church. I remember Pastor Sarah and Clinton saying he liked to wore us out. Because after he would teach here, I'm talking about here a few times, he'd sit up till 3 or 4 in the morning and just talk and share the word and talk with them and talk. And they're like, and he's going. He's full of life, full of energy. And he said when he'd get up in the morning, he said, "I teach, I go around the country teaching in the world, teaching at churches all over. And then at night, I write books." And he said, "In the morning, I get up and I command strength into my body." And he said, "I run into the ground men half my age." And this was in his 80s. He commanded strength. And I said, there's some things that we need to learn that we're not doing, that we give in. Even myself, when I get tired, am I quick to command strength into my body, or I go, "I am whooped"? Some of us, that's what we do. We just, "I'm tired. I'm just so tired. Well, guess what? That's what you're going to be. So tired. Instead of, let the weak say, "I'm strong." Not, "I'm so tired." but it's the truth. That's what happens. We're not being, like Brother Hagin said, God inside minded or word minded. We're not submitting to the word and resisting some things. Hold fast to your profession of faith. Amen. So let's look at Mark 11:22. Let's close with this for a moment. We'll pick up again. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Or as it says in mine, have the faith of God in the margin. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he saith. See, now it didn't say that you're just saying, but you're believing in the things that you're saying. Those things which he saith shall come to pass. See, so the things you believe in, then the things that you say, what? Shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, if there's things that you desire, things that you want, I like what Mark Hankins said when his wife had that inoperable brain tumor and the doctor said no hope, said we're going to do exploratory surgery and we're going to leave her paralyzed and an invalid the rest of her life. He said, you look at her, she don't look invalid to me. And he said, 8 days before that operation, we put up a big banner in her room, no wavering allowed. And that's what we ought to have, no wavering allowed. Keep confessing the word. Keep speaking the word. And let the Holy Ghost lead you and guide you. Hallelujah. So how many we're gonna profess? That's why I'm the things that God has put desires in my heart, I continue to steadfastly speak those things and decree them. Because I've learned that sometimes I've let go of things that I didn't see. And that's another thing. If you were professing a good profession of faith and you let it slip, pick it back up again. Just pick it back right up again. Just take hold of that and say, okay, Lord, I let it go, but I'm picking back up. You're not going to lose out. Pick that confession of faith back up. If God gave you something, put something in your heart, you hold tight. Hold tight to that. I'm telling you, these things, they're not to question what churches are doing and not doing, but I'm telling you, this right here is to me what sets apart what God had given Brother Hagin and the Kenneth Hagin ministry, sets them apart. Not that the others don't love Jesus. We love, and there's some that just are reaching the lost. They are too. But there's something about the word of faith, the preaching of the word of faith, and being led by the Spirit of God that sets apart. That's something that God had given them, a revelation, and I'm telling you that, and I agree with Pastor Sarah and Pastor Clinton, those two things have seen us and gotten us through many a thing. Folks are bumping around, Christians are bumping around, and they're not saying the right things, and they don't even know how to be led by the Spirit of God. And they're making mistakes in life and blaming God and frustrated. And so the more we can learn, the more we can school ourselves in that, the more successful we will be. And God can use us. That's why I honestly believe God established this ministry, sent Pastor Sarah and Clinton to Rhema Bible Training Center to begin to school us in the word of faith and love and being led by the Spirit of God to transform this area. There are not a lot of ministries that are doing it. good ministries, but this ministry has held steady on that. And I don't want to get away from it. It's the Bible. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's hold fast our profession of faith. No wavering allowed. Hallelujah. We are going to see this area transform. And one of the things I believe that Brother Copeland spoke over Pastor Clinton before he went away to heaven, I believe those things are going to come to pass. I believe God's desire is that this area be raised up just like the whole Tulsa area. I believe that. That God's desire is that that's not just something special out there, but he wants to develop something here. And Brother Copeland spoke it over this ministry. He said, this is a mighty church. And he said, you think that that church in Seoul, Korea is so big. He said, I want to do that here if you will let me. And I'm going to do it all over this world in other churches. And he said, don't seek the largest church. Just seek me. Seek the word. Seek him. Walk in love with people and he'll send the people. That's why I believe this place is too small. There's something greater, something bigger. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you this evening. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this place that we have to worship in. We worship you. Thank you for this great place that you've given us. Thank you for the people that are coming. Thank you for the money that is coming. Thank you for our new home, and we thank you, Father, that we're changing. We're desiring change in us. We're transforming. We're changing our thinking, walking more in love, walking more in peace, and seeking you more. And Father, we love you with all of our heart. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.